It is 5:31. We're going to call the meeting to order. Greg, take attendance.
Great. Anne, are you here?
Yeah.
Donald is absent. This is Greg. I'm here. Kara?
Here.
Sarah?
Here.
And there's Daniel and Krishna. Hi.
Hello.
We have quorum.
Quorum. All right. Any need or desire to reorder the action or discussion items for the evening? All right. Seeing none, we can move into board and community appreciations.
Thank you, Anne, for dinner.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah,
thank you for dinner.
This is dinner.
I'll appreciate the Sunflower team for figuring out tomorrow's field trip logistics. I know they're going to the zoo.
Nice.
Doing animal research and taking public transit to get there. And what's that? Yeah.
How many buses?
Yeah.
Two buses.
And a hill.
I gotta walk up the hill.
Yeah. But I think the kids are pretty excited about it.
Anyone?
I'm on their backup list if they need somebody. Yeah. I also want to appreciate Teacher Amy for the most amazing weekly update blasts to the families. The Manzanita blasts are awesome.
Yes, they really are.
I'm stuck with that. I have an extremely old one. This is actually from last spring, but my kid was in a boot of some kind, and they did a field trip to somewhere hiking, ages class, and Mr. O'Brien pushed my kiddo in a wheelchair in the Oakland Hills. And every time we passed that spot, Ava says, "Mr. Brian," and then the students also helped push her, and she got to go on the field trip. And I never thanked him for that, but I'm thanking him now.
Brian's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the operations team for running testing, and Ms. Lauren and Peter.
Yeah.
It's been nice to not have to live.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Nice. A shout out to the team planning the tree planting and plant sale the weekend. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a party. And shout out to Daniel and Ms. Krishna for not going to.
And shout out to Sarah for making it possible for us to not attend.
Well, to sure, because they need to have a day off. And it's very well deserved. I'm glad that they're making having the rest of our community step up. You hold that.
I want to also appreciate that the FAC leadership, I think they've been like, they helped beautify the sunroom and stuff like that as part of testing. And
yes,
that was cool too. I know they've obviously been doing a ton to plan for for Saturday.
Thanks. Maybe. Is it Blue and Foster?
Yeah. Feel free to
pass selling that. Eggs from middle school with no notice after school on Friday, calling home at like 1 p.m. to see if they could stay a few minutes late.
Wow.
And then selling all the eggs that had accumulated in the fridge, which was 30 eggs at that point, about 30 a week.
Nice.
And doing our first little attempt at the sales and making a spreadsheet to track their profits.
I will now bring cash on Fridays.
Maybe with a cash on the endeavor, right?
That was hot. Who planned the clothing swap?
Marcella.
Shout out to Marcella.
Yeah.
I got some awesome hiking boots.
Wow, cool.
From my 5-year-old that I'm very excited about.
She says, I'm usually bring the FAQ report, but based on demand, she says she'll try and do another one.
Nice.
Right,
if
he doesn't, he's gonna even
do that
more.
Hey, anything else? All right. Board member comment. Anything not on the agenda? All right. And nobody on the Zoom?
Nobody's on Zoom.
All right. So no presentations from the floor.
Yep.
So let's turn it over to Ms. Krishna.
I just want to make sure it picks you up.
It's March. Oh, yeah, you need to step out and do that. Sorry. I have decided to continue keeping our community agreements at the top of our head of schools report, especially since it's near the beginning of our meeting, and just, you know, anchoring what we're doing and in these community agreements that the staff has put a lot of time, thought into them. And as they grow and change, we'll adjust them here too so that the public can see. Also, still have our land acknowledgement here, which I'm not gonna read in full, but would you read it on Saturday?
Yeah.
I think that would be where that, I don't know that Lori would remember to tell you that, but you can print it for you or whatever.
She had a note about someone doing that.
If she has somebody else to do it, great, but just make it sure it gets rent.
Yep.
And then our anti-racist, anti-bias statement. I know we'll talk about those some more in other parts of our meeting tonight. We've got our tree planting coming up. There's been a ton of work going on around that. And I'm really excited to see how it all works out and where everything ends up. And can't thank Lori enough for all the work she's put into that, and Jillian as well. We are still SBAC testing. Fifth graders did science today. Seventh and eighth grade was testing this afternoon. We're wrapping up. Most classes are close to done, except for middle school, which just started. And next up is spring break. Can't come soon enough for most of the same. wanted to review a little bit about arrival and dismissal procedures and just talk about what's going on. This is straight from our policies that we send out at the beginning of the year and that we've linked a few times and dealt with. To maximize flow traffic, we should approach one way. We try to make steel one way. We have definitely, you know, there's areas that are a struggle on this. Mornings are less of a challenge than afternoons, because in the mornings it's a drop off most families don't park except for some primary families, which is a much smaller portion of our community, and most people just drop off and drive away, which makes for a much cleaner system even when it's not one way, which can happen as well. In our current policy is we're asking, that all students and families prioritize safety on our busy street and model, you know, being good neighbors, while they're here entering and exiting and around our, you know, our neighbors here who have really struggled, I think, with every school that's been placed, but not the best. So here's our little traffic picture for the slides to pick up, which shows the one way. The tough points are, like, it's really about the procedures exist. It's just about how do we support community following those procedures. And really, it probably takes 7 to 10 trained people twice a day, every day. But you could arguably only do it in the afternoon. But it really is about number of bodies in the right. And it could be student leadership in theory, best directing in a number of places with all of the existing side streets. There's a lot of other subtle complications that come up with coming down, Eno's here, and that require additional adult people to be standing at many locations, just directing and pointing. I think if we were able to facilitate that every day for forever, it would be better. And that the goal would be to looking for options to, you know, stipend somebody to do that. There's not currently staff capacity or availability to run any part of that right now. So it's definitely an ask from the community, but it's also not been something that somebody's been able to step up and take on. So that's really the where it's at right now. I have some hopes that if we could figure out a way to stipend somebody either who is existing on staff or a parent or something. We need a project manager who would own it. And then I think there's a lot of potential for other solutions that could be tried out. And it's really, I think, for the community, it's just about having something consistent that's happening that's the same every day, because telling people it hasn't been effective, and our neighbors are definitely not super pleased with us in our upcoming renewal of Unite with our neighbors.
Some neighbors.
I think the neighbors that are closer to the school have a harder time, legitimately. Mm-hmm. You know? But lots of people are understanding as well.
Yeah.
That it's like the complexity that literally every single school, every single location has this conversation, particularly about dismissal.
Question.
If you're going to talk about it, let's talk about it now and then I'll move on.
I just had a quick question. I think it's quick. For any staff that we might have that are only part-time, which I don't know how many of those we have actually.
It's very few.
Yeah. But, between regular day and after school program folk, that's where I wonder, you're saying we've already polled all of them, and right now, even
none of those people are available at the time that's needed, right?
Got it.
It would be easier to poll a support teacher from 2:50 to 3:15 than it would be to poll mm-hmm. any of the part-time people. And so, if in the right classroom, it depends, right? But like pulling somebody from 2:55 or 2:50, because it might even really be 2:45 to 3:15 where the need is.
Yeah, basically.
Are you open to stipending a family member who applies?
Yeah, we'll just pay somebody to do it. Yeah. They'd have to get on. We'd figure out whether they're become a full employee and we just pay them.
Contract.
Or whether they issue us an invoice. Either one of those would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's benefits to them just being an employee. I think from an insurance perspective in this job, we'd probably just make them a substitute and then pay them for extra work for the chunks of work. That's logistical. I can work that out. But it could be a parent, and like ideally this would be like a place. I think we've tried, FAC has tried often to support this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more about like we can't keep enough volunteers who are consistent.
It's a really hard job for volunteers too, because people are abusive. So I think paying someone might make it more tolerable, but it is also a hard ask for parents. Part of me does wonder if I don't want to put our middle school students.
I think they're less likely to get abused.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
I think historically, when you look around at programs that work, there's the benefit of putting students out is that it's not total. Like those kids need to be trained and ready, and it shouldn't be, they should be,
it should also
sixth grade and up.
Yeah.
And they need to have some training on what to do in the event that somebody's unkind to them.
But if you had a parent who project managed it and trained them and was available for the students.
Yeah. It's like, I need somebody to plan it, implement it, and then like basically you need to supervise whoever that 7 to 10 are. And it's different supervising kids.
Mm-hmm.
They would definitely need to be an employee in that case. Yeah. And back to like risk assessment there, they have to be employed.
We wonder if it would be a mix of parents and kids. Parents would support the kids also that are there, in addition to a project manager.
Sure. I think the issues we've had is just the consistency of we don't have, and the parents who have been able to do it from a schedule, personal life schedule perspective are unable to actually handle the task. And I mean that in a it's really hard, and pretty much I can't and do not send staff outside to support that, because it causes me HR issues 100% of the time. 100% of the time when somebody other than me or Daniel or Melody goes outside to interface. And that's a personal capacity thing, not an actual, it's because I'm we're a little bit more accustomed to be to being yelled at. Yeah.
Well, and I think that
it's like not a big deal, like, but it's okay. So that other staff don't take it. It's just like I end up with people crying in my office and I have an HR issue.
Yeah, and I think it's important, especially for families to understand, because I think I'm bringing some of my own
neighbor as a neighbor.
Well, not even actually, I'm not thinking as a neighbor. I'm thinking much more as a former principal who had traffic issues and had a million parents say to me, the principal just needs to be out there every day. And I want to be really clear that, like, as a board, we do not support that.
And really, it doesn't work logistically at all. Like, well, I'm really unable to do it. Like, we have meetings at 3:15 every day. And the number of days a month that I'm dealing with an end of the day student issue right at the end of the day, or I'm trying to catch a parent, like, I need that 15 minutes between 3 and 3:15 to, like, catch the parents I need to talk to or get ready for the IEP meetings or, like, check in with the staff. Like, it just isn't, it doesn't logistically work for us. So even if I thought it was a good solution, I've found that I haven't been able to make that happen and prioritize that.
Yeah.
Except for occasionally when it's like, I'm supporting a specific neighbor who asked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that when you say, like, unless it's me, Daniel, or Melody, I just wanted to be clear that from, like, a board perspective,
those are not options. Really.
Yeah.
I would go even further to say that if we can find this magical part-time project manager, they shouldn't report to you either.
No.
That's an opportunity for someone else on your staff to manage someone.
That I appreciate you adding that, because I don't have time to, I need to be clear that I do not have time and capacity to manage the person who's project managing this. Like, that would actually be a spot wherein someone on the board, anyone on the board, just to, like, sort of hold, be the thought partner.
I think you could stipend a teacher leader to manage the project manager, and both investments might be worth.
Yeah, if I have the person who's up to the task and wants to do that, that's a harder ask of the teacher leader, maybe.
Or a person. Just put it out there.
Yeah. But I appreciate that addition, which is that it's more complicated than we can do it. It's actually that, like, it isn't a useful investment of my time at this moment to build that capacity, to put the time in that it would take to build that capacity in somebody who we'd be bringing on board. So
in the meantime, if you found the person who was willing to be paid to project manage, I would happily meet with them.
Okay.
Be their buddy.
Okay, so moving forward, a little bit of professional development, general instructional updates, nothing I don't think overlapping with our academic committee, but we're just continuing, like, our general PD now with no more PD days left till the end of the year. Is like, we're continuing just like our weekly meetings. We do lesson studies and child studies twice a month, collaborative curriculum planning twice a month. We are generally meeting in affinity groups once a month, though that one's calendar dependent at times. And soon, upcoming things that teachers and staff are doing is they're working on classroom placements for rising first and fourth graders. That is a really complex and intensive internal process of the meeting of all the lead teachers at, like, primary and lower L. Lower L gets the brunt. Those teachers are in all the meetings. Oh, yeah. And all the sixth graders go to middle school. So it's a little bit more straightforward there, but that will be happening. There'll be more info coming to parents soon around those timelines and notifications of class placements for rising first and fourth graders. Probably, I don't know what the timeline is, but I think it's in May. It's definitely before the end of the year.
Just real quick, most traditionally, you find out what classroom you're in
the day before,
like, the day before school.
Or the first day of school.
Yeah.
Unreal. Thank you.
Yeah.
Him. That's a Daniel. Thanks.
Thank you.
And then our teacher residents, our Montessori training teacher residents, had their last weekend seminar. They are all on day 13 straight of work right now, I think. And so they were here all day Saturday and Sunday learning and collaborating. I took them all out to dinner on Saturday. They're all exhausted, be kind to those folks. And summer two starts on June 12th. So for those folks, summer two of three, that's exciting. All right, enrollment stuff. I got some lottery ran March 8th. Today is the last day to accept before everybody's rescinded tomorrow at like 8 a.m. or something, or like midnight. I don't know when, but it hasn't happened yet. I made you a nice little spreadsheet here. These are the number of seats offered in every grade. Keep in mind that offers does not mean how many we actually want to receive. Sometimes we offer exactly how many slots that we want to get. Other times we'll over offer based on information that we have, or potentially even under offer, though usually it's an over offer with the understanding that families make a lot of different decisions. As of 1:15 today, I already know this number is different. I know that this number is not the same as it was then, or these two numbers are not the same. These are the students who have accepted, committed to come here. These are only new students, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm only talking about the lottery. And then I added in like what we've budgeted for just for new students, which is a weird number you won't see elsewhere because we'll budget total numbers by grade. But we did specific math to figure out what to offer, right? So I have an understanding of how much we're budgeting for and how much over we're offering. So this is just, you know, you can take some time looking at this if you have any questions. And then this also shows the current wait lists in all the grades. But the short story is we're looking really good, I think, in terms of meeting our budgeted numbers, even though there's some grades that look a little rough, or we're likely to we can catch up by over-enrolling above our budget numbers by a certain amount in other grades. Like I said, for instance, I know that this one is now an offer of 4 and an acceptance of 2 because we made sibling offers today. We can make more offers anytime after the lottery runs, but we have to be really careful because all of the people who haven't said anything can still accept. They could all say yes tonight at the last minute. And so we don't really make a lot of offers except for in response to the people who decline. So if somebody declined, we already made offers. We're making offers daily. Buck and I check in regularly, pretty much every day. Usually right now, starting tomorrow, we'll really be checking in almost every day, because if we get, depending on how many people accept here, it impacts this number potentially.
So
does that make sense?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Questions about that?
Yeah. So starting tomorrow, once these
the
wave
initial.
Of initial offers are all of a sudden either accepted
rescinded.
Or automatically rescinded, you then have a lot more fine control.
Yeah.
Right? Is that my understanding? Like, so you can say, okay, this is how many we've got. This is how many, you know how many you have currently, the intents, all that sort of stuff. And you can be like, you can be really surgical. Like you're already trying to be surgical.
We're already pretty surgical, even in the ones where like, if we get like, I don't know. So some people in TK don't accept. I'm still can't really offer more in K yet. It's like there's some great, but there's areas where we can, like where we felt comfortable, even though we had 2 out. We know if we go to 4 in this right now, if these other 2 people who haven't responded yet accepted, we'd be okay, right? Like we're being a little certain. We have to be really careful though, because like over enrolling is a problem we've experienced.
Yeah.
But then not everybody shows up on the first day.
Yeah.
And I think, though I don't have like great data, and I'd love to have better data on like the people who accept in the first round right away, like I think are more likely, they're the ones that actually show up.
Yeah.
So this first list is pretty solid. Like these 34 TK kids are going to show up.
Yeah.
And we budgeted for 36. And so we'll have no problem getting that 4 over between now and the first day of school. Like that's going to be easy. We might get to our actual goal, like 41. It's probably 41.
Right. To make it all.
Yeah. So it's like, my actual goal is 41. So there's all sorts of weird, probability math happening here. This is what I put in the budget. And this is what's in our material revision.
Yeah.
What I actually want is 41.
You can have 25%
41
more
there.
And you're allowed to have up to 9 more.
And 19 here, kind of. Yeah, but we can get
I just
walk there.
Probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm in early. Why offer 15? Why did you offer under the budget?
Could we have
so many, I offered over here because so I offered it was related to how much over I offered in
right,
PK.
Right, okay.
Because I actually want 41.
Right.
And these ones were hitting those quickly.
If there are 28 or 29, you know, returning TKers.
Yeah.
Have, plus the 10.
I have 30 returners.
So plus the 10 who have accepted, you're at 40 and you're looking for a class of
this
44.
Hits me right at 45. So I actually have 30 returning TK students. That was our number from Intense, which means if I'm going for 45 here, I'm going to offer 15. But I can, if I can't fill TK, we can afford to bubble four more kids only. That's one kid. That'll be one kid per class in first grade when we have four LEs. So it's
they don't all stay either.
They don't all stay either, yeah. But like we have pretty good TKK, K1 retention.
Yeah, those
are better retention levels.
The primary and lower L retention is like 90%.
It's pretty high. So just a little bit, it's like, here's what happens, right? Today's the last day before offers are rescinded, and then we can really tailor. So we begin aggressively, like moving through our wait list, but like really thought, when I say aggressively, it's extremely surgical, right?
Yeah.
It's,
but,
and there's more factors in some grades than others, but mostly it's like, we're looking closely on who's accepted, who's submitted cable.
So the deadline tomorrow, just wanted to, that's the Oakland enrolls.
That's Oakland enrolls.
It's not EBIA. It's not OUSD.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting window where a lot of people out there are still thinking about schools. And so if you can give them an offer, I think between say tomorrow and the 29th, I think
they'll
is that deadline.
It, yeah.
They'll be able to make that calculus.
Yeah. I know we have eighth graders who are looking at like a whole range of complex
times. They haven't gotten
but like our main areas of recruitment, like we really, third grade is the one grade that's like actually like that's not, we're not going to hit our budget number, and I think it highly unlikely we'll hit our budget number in third grade, and that's the one spot that I maybe overestimated in the budget, but not to the, because of the conservativeness in other areas, it won't be a budget problem, but it's also a hard one to recruit for. It's a weird grade to be low in, and that has to do with the impacts of the pandemic still, right? Because that's really the group that are going into third grade. Our current second graders, man, they were pandemic TKK, you know, kindergarteners. And so that's the hardest one. Sixth grade, we'll probably have room for more on our wait list, but I also think it's not as, we also get more, like there are more folks looking at that grade. It's easier to recruit for sixth graders. We do have like a really unique offering for a sixth grade family who's maybe not ready for the full middle school program and wants something self-contained, which lots of people are looking for. So that's it for that. Some staffing stuff. We're, you know, in hiring season. We sent a formal intent to return survey. Like I have spoken to every person in person. So I have done an informal in-person face-to-face check-in. So, which I've shared in the past, I already shared.
Yeah, Daniel went over that last month.
Yeah, that we shared last month. And so today we put out a survey that's really in advance of us sending our reasonable assurance letters to staff to determine like what I'm saying to them about their employment for next year. Those are planned to go out on April 14th. And we're actively interviewing for our Montessori coach and director of student services positions. We've had interviews for both of those positions at this point. And hoping to do more. Okay, LCAP, this is the same slide as last time. We don't have any public here. I opened LCAP, looked at it, and tagged some people today. So I've made that much progress since last time we talked about it.
The
to make more.
The planning and opportunity to weigh in is there 24/7.
Absolutely.
And at every board meeting and every committee.
And I think we bring the final draft in May and we approve in June, or is it final draft in April and approve in May?
Ideally, there's a complete, pretty much final draft in May for the
public hearing.
And then there can be additional feedback and tweaks and changes before a vote in June.
So we're on track for that, having a good final draft
and
probably some additional solid work on it between now and April's meeting. So it'll look a little bit different. We'll have more info in there.
Thanks for continuing to create space. Yeah.
And that's it for me. Any questions about any of that?
We peppered you throughout.
It's mostly that enrollment stuff is the fun part. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Really exciting.
I think that's it.
Cool.
Finance.
Great. Finance.
Finance. Oh, there. Yeah. The finance committee met. Nice. Yeah, we hit that bar. And Josh walked us through this month's forecast, which is on the agenda. So I'm going to talk like this. So there was an adjustment to, no, we're good. Through, these are the numbers through the end of February. And so we had, we adjusted our current forecast of an operating income this year of, we're up to $81,000. And the adjustments are really driven by one main thing, which is a change in how our SELPA allocates revenue. My understanding was that basically like this, I think similar to how the state did it with like LCFF ADA funding, they, for special education students, they also kind of let schools go back and use like their highest ADA across the last 3 years to get funded on for SELPA. Hmm. So there was an increase in SELPA revenue. And then we also are showing an increase in school meals expenses to adjust the forecast and an offsetting increase in reimbursement revenue for that. So there's, so that kind of offsets, but that's kind of the two other big chunks. So it nets out forecasted at more revenue. The other thing we looked at in terms of the forecast, if you look in the details, is that we are now, you know, the end of February is definitely more than halfway through the end of the fiscal year. And we have a lot of expenses that are below 50%, you know, in their categories. So some of that is just the timing of when certain expenses hit, but it'll, you know, we could be on track to saving a little bit. And so the ending fund balance as a percent of expenses improved slightly to 28.5%. And cash remained forecasted to be perfectly strong through the end of the fiscal year. ADA actually, or attendance, I should say, bumped up a little bit since coming back from school. So month six and month seven were better than before the break. So that bucked a little bit of a year over year trend that we've had in the past. That's nice. I think OUSD is at like 90%. So we're actually lately just over, we're doing better than 90.
Our average is 90.
No, we're at, I think now up to, yeah, not quite 92.
That's the annual average, not the month average.
Yeah, that's the moment in time. That's the month average.
Okay.
Yeah. The
so,
most recent.
Okay. So we don't.
Yeah. So, yep. Okay. We talked about, had a quick discussion about our auditors. It's about selecting auditors to audit this year's books next year. And so there was a discussion, and it's best practice if you stay with the same company to at least change like your lead partner. And so I think we're on track to staying with the same company and changing partner. It's time to change partners. So that's what will be happening. And then we also discussed a little bit about what's been happening at the state. So since the governor's proposal, there's been a variety of legislative bills. There's like hundreds of them that have to do with the state budget and school funding. We discussed a few hypothetical situations. So the governor proposed approximately an 8% cost of living adjustment in the K-12 budget. I think we discussed that last month, even though the state is facing a $20-odd billion deficit. The legislative analyst's office softened that. They think the governor won't be able to hit 8%. It might be like 6.5 or something like that. And then they also, and things could keep changing. And then Josh shared, there's, you know, a variety of bills, stuff about how to make it all work. They might, because we have a new arts and music proposition, they might cut some of their discretionary funding of arts and music because they have like required funding to give to schools, or they just started EOP, but they might cut back some of the funding for it because not as many students and families maybe are participating in it. So it could end up being a smaller amount, but it might be the same amount of money per kid. They're trying to figure out different ways that they can close the deficit. And then the last thing I wanted to mention about this is I also saw, I think our state superintendent of public instruction was giving testimony to the California legislature this week, maybe, about supporting moving from an ADA-based funding model to an enrollment-based model. It's unclear how fast it would happen. Yeah, exactly. But what it would mean, you know, it would mean if you're the school who's helping support kids who have, for whatever reason, a hard time getting to school every single day, you still like have the whole costs of the teacher and the classroom. And so you could get all the funding based on enrollment, with some requirements that you demonstrate that you've been reaching out and spending money and supporting them to have strong attendance. So. And then the last thing we discussed, we looked at a contract for some internet infrastructure upgrades here at the Steel Street campus. Mr. Buck and the team at E-Rate interviewed a bunch of companies, and this is, I think it was five, and this was the one that they are recommending the school go with to do some pretty required internet upgrades that the school needs to do. And so Mr. Buck and Ms. Krishna recommended this contract, which is on tonight's consent agenda. So if you want to pull that item and talk more about it, we can do that. But I just wanted to share here that the committee reviewed it, we recommended it, that we approve it, and that it sounded like Ms. Krishna was going to try to figure out if she could pay for it across multiple fiscal years. So
yeah, I have to sign it this month.
So that can kind of help make it soft in the expense. And there's a big chunk of it that is reimbursed.
Mm-hmm. For questions, I'll be calling a special meeting to approve a
different contract. Okay, yeah. And I think that's all I have for finance, if there are any questions. All right. Nope.
All right. Academical.
We met. Feels like it was a really long time ago. Daniel provided instructional updates around the teacher training program, SPAC testing, and the start of the transition process for students who are transitioning. We also talked a little bit about Measure G1 plans for next year. The goal is to increase retention from 6th to 7th grade, and more access to art, music, and world languages, and create a positive and safer learning environment for middle school students. We looked at two academic-related policies, transitional youth education and anti-bullying policies, and we have plans to continue to review policies and actually put them on the consent report going forward. That was pretty much it.
All right. I'm going to share what Marcella sent us for OKC. She reported back that the clothing swap was really successful, and it looks like they might be doing another one next month since there was a lot of interest. Parent night out is April 15th. There's going to be more information to come. Yeah, it's exciting.
Is that going to be at Left Coast mm-hmm. Yoga?
This weekend, we've got the tree planting in the morning and then the plant sale in the afternoon. I'm feeling pretty good about the plant sale. I think we definitely have more volunteers this year, it seems, in terms of donations than we've had in the past. So that's cool.
And we haven't really been sure which plants in the past.
So. No, we always have more plants than we know what to do with. Yeah, it seems to work out. And sometimes I sell stuff too, like from home, like I'll take stuff home and just sell it off my porch, which works as well. Give money to the school. Let's see. She mentioned that she talked about maybe having some artwork commissioned for the sunroom.
by a local artist. And so that's sort of a pending question. And if there's going to be like contribution or contribution requests from the community to do that.
It's interesting how few of our families have actually seen the center.
Yeah.
Such like a gathering place. Pre-COVID. And I don't feel like most of our families have seen it. So it'd be an interesting ask in terms of getting them to decorate some of those things.
Has there been any expressed desire by families to do any kind of like hybrid FAC meetings, or is the Zoom really?
We had two people at the last, besides me, okay. Marcella, and one other person at the last FAC meeting.
Okay.
So they're not super well attended. Okay. I think we should talk to Marcella about whether we want to try and do some in person, just to like if people feel like they would be more involved or engaged in person.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I was thinking about it from the like, people haven't seen the center room, would that, you know, help people feel more connected, or that was what sparked that for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to go to the coffee last time. So it was to a doctor's program. How was that? Did people come?
Because we did like a last minute announcement that it was going to be in the center room.
It was raining.
But it was great fun.
It was a nice room.
And it was, and it was conferences.
Yeah.
So people had a place to. Our observations.
Finish their observation, pop in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it actually, I think it touched quite a few folks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Let Marcella know she's amazing and red.
She's awesome.
I'm sure she knows it, but
yeah,
but we need to reinforce that for her. So
yeah, she's doing a great job.
Yes.
I can add, I don't know if this falls under FAC, but I recently connected with Rhythmics Cultural Works, and they do performances. Yeah, they did it already. One class, I forget which class it was now, Miss Fatima, Misha. They went to an in-person performance at Rhythmic, and then there wasn't space, but is it Dolphin? Michelle, they did a virtual performance of the African dance because they're studying Africa right now, and they seem to enjoy it. And I'm trying to like connect with them more because they have ongoing performances, and they gave us a scholarship for the in-person tickets. So it'd be nice once they open up the next cycle to get more classes involved if they want to join.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing else? No? Okay, cool. Great. Executive Governance Committee. We talked about so one thing that I didn't have time to link in here, but I wanted to get eyes on is a board job description that is a little bit more
digestible, shareable
than what we currently have in the board book, which is a great tool to use after someone has initially been interested. So sorry, I'm not good at multitasking. I'm emailing. I'm just trying to put everybody's email in here. So I'm gonna send that to y'all now, and
I'll put it in the minutes.
Yep. Edit, and eventually I'll put it in the appendix of the board book. But wanted to get folks. So basically, what I did was look at what we had in the board book, kind of overall around job description. Or like the components of the job description. And I thought it was important to highlight a few things, like one in the overview of the school. So I think we want people who are like excited about and feel, you know, connected to the vision of the school. The overview of the board, like what a board is and board responsibilities, and just left the kind of summary version of the board member roles.
And then I tried to include a little bit about board meeting schedule and time commitment, some of which I pulled, some of which I don't think I pulled. I didn't see it in there,
mm-hmm.
but just about like, there's these meetings that can last 2 to 3 hours, that all board members sit on a committee. Everyone does have some committee.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. Yeah. That meet for one at least a month, at least one committee.
You're on one.
I backed out.
But you're the chair.
I backed out. I was on two.
Yeah. You're good. You're the chair.
And then I put here, like, this is like a total, I like don't keep track of how much other stuff I do in the board. And so I'm like, and I feel like that varies based on, you know, if you're a chair, if you're chairing a committee, or if you also go to FAC, so I said 2 to 5 hours of additional time commitments over the month, which I felt like is like on average-ish. And so wanted to check that felt honest. and
I feel like if I do more than that, it's like a nice to have, and I'm on a special project or something like that.
Yeah, like periodically I'll do more because of fundraising stuff, but that's not the board.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I guess the only other comment I had this could also go into like, should we update this in our board book? Is that it still says in there that Urban Montessori is a tuition-free TK-8 public charter school located in Oakland. Our school is based on the teachings of Maria Montessori in combination with design thinking and arts integration, which
mm-hmm.
I think that's not our focus, right? Like, sort of abandoned it's right.
This is a great conversation to have. The last time we had it was basically like we whoever the constellation, I feel like, of board members and admin was like, this is who we are kind of formally through the renewal.
Okay.
And then like as part of renewal, which we are very close to, I mean, the work of updating the charter happens in the next 6 to 8 months, I think.
Yeah.
And that as that gets approved, then that kind of resets, you know, how we want to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
As far as I'm concerned, that conversation is probably at this moment, it's had different constituents over the years, I feel like, who have had very strong feelings about it. If anyone has strong feelings about it now, it's probably some of our faculty.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like an admin staff that, you know, getting on the same, make sure they're on the same page and that admin will bring us a recommendation about how, what the recommendation should be to either keep it or change it or evolve it, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there anything else that, like, as you think about when you were considering board service? Because my hope is that one, I was like, this cannot be more than 2 pages.
Yeah.
Was one of my requirements here. And so we're almost there. But is there anything else that folks feel like would be helpful to include as someone who's just getting a sense of board service?
Who and how to contact with their questions, or how to start? Just one of the messages I said, I don't know if it's on here because I'm just reading this for the first time, mm-hmm. is like, the best way to know if board service is right for you is come.
Mm-hmm.
You just start coming and participating as a member of the public. Yeah, you just start coming and you'll be included because we're usually pretty small. And then you'll kind of get a sense of it, you know, before you have to make a big commitment. That's what I always tell people.
Yeah.
And it really separates like people who are serious from people who are maybe not. Because it's like, there's nothing actually stopping anybody from coming.
Yeah.
It's not a secret society or anything. But I would love to mark this up and read it, and we can pull it. We can bring it back to exec and talk about it and stuff. But in the meantime, it also feels like something you can start to share. I mean, you're going to have 99% of it's going to be fabulous, and you know, share away.
yeah.
Although I am going to fix the title of it.
What is it?
The file name was misspelled. It's all, I'm just messing with you. Totally messing with you. It's great. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. My hope is that, you know, my personal goal is that we attract one non-parent to the board for next year. My goal. Greg's like, good luck.
I love it. It's great. The school, I mean, I still, you know, you, me.
Yes.
We were on the board first. And then we became parents.
Yep.
I mean, we were parents, but you know what I mean. While you're making that note, I'll just say so Form 700, two updates on that. The agenda says it's due April 1st. They've actually clarified that's a Saturday. It's actually due April 3rd, the Monday, the first business day. And there are on the agenda is both a link to the form and training, updated training materials to help guide you in the completion of the form. And if you'd like non-legal advice, I'm happy to answer clarifying questions as well. I'm just not.
I don't think I read anything last year before.
I'm happy to share what I declare, how I did it for myself. That's, you know, yeah. But it's how your 2022 was.
Yeah. Okay, great. Let me get back to the agenda.
I was going to say other things that we discussed as a committee. We took a quick look at the board book.
Oh, yeah.
At the bylaws and at the conflict of interest code.
Yes.
Which all three are on the agenda for approval, or I should say reapproval, with like no substantive updates, just kind of like annual updatey kind of things. So I'm not going to pull any of them from the consent agenda, but if anyone wants to, that's fine. But they can also, if there are more substantive updates, you can reapprove those things at any time.
Yep. Oh my god, my brain. Yeah. Did we talk about anything else? I'm pulling back up the notes.
We touched on the six long-term goals.
That connects to one, some work that Greg and I, mostly Greg thus far, are doing in in the diverse schools community of practice. And then we also our committee's goal is around thinking about diversifying our board. And so that was where the work then connected to getting that job description done. And then we also talked about G1 as well. And so
that's right. And finance committee did that too.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So similarly, I mean, same thing, Krishna, like talked about the idea one, what measure G1 is, which you covered, and that how we are hoping to use it, and think it's a great funding stream for the new director of student services. It's gonna be perfect. Perfect. So that's it. That was exact. So just next steps, please do review that job description by the exec committee meeting. I think it would be great for us to be able to at least have some feedback or have gotten people's eyes on it if there's anything that feels totally off. But again, it's all coming from the board book, so it's not, you know, totally random. That's it. Okay. Anybody want to switch up committees now that I've been shamed that I'm only on one?
But no, not at all.
Still not going to join another one. Anybody have any changes that need to happen in terms of committee membership or leadership? All right.
No, but related to that, I just wanted to name that I think my term is up at the end of June. And so I think so. It happens.
I thought, yeah.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. All right, fine. Maybe I'm good.
The bylaws that you just for life.
No.
Very specific.
Okay, my bad. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, I think you're probably.
No, I think you're right.
Now I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know.
Hope that you're absent and you can renew you without you, you know.
Okay, no, I'm correct. My current term ends June 30th, 2023. It's June. A year and a half. And it comes, terms go fast. And I want to just name, I'm just naming the fact. That's it. No other commentary on that. I think any person can do 6 terms according to our bylaws.
How many terms would the special move?
If I were to serve, I'm completing my 4th term. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And we're excited for another term.
Sounds, that'd be great. I was going to, the other reason why I wanted to mention is because I wanted to, it's a little, I don't think I can make the March right now? I don't think I can make the April meeting or the May meeting, but I can be there in June when stuff happens. So anyways, I just wanted to say it now because I'm probably not going to be here for the next 2 meetings. So that's why. Okay.
Cool. Sounds good. Okay. All right. So one thing that we wanted to come back to this time was talking about the article. I don't know if folks are able to get a chance to read it. I meant to reread it and I didn't, but I read it before the last one.
I need to read it like 5 more times.
I know, right?
I did not read it.
You did not.
I brought it with me.
Mm-hmm.
So do that.
One way to make friends.
And you've got some questions on the agenda, yeah. I think.
So I think specifically what Krishna was talking about, or Krishna mentioned earlier in thinking about, like, this is what the staff used to help develop these agreements. And I think our job as a board is thinking about, like, how can those agreements play out in this space and in the spaces that we are like leading and facilitating for, you know, families and community members more broadly as board members. So that's kind of like the overarching, I think, purpose of us engaging in it, with it. And so I want to just first start with just like takeaways and reactions. We talked a little bit about this last time, but I think good to just kind of just start there at that level one, about what people's reactions were.
We talked a little bit about this in our brief conversation last month about this, around that this is the sort of text that you can never one of my reactions is that you can never revisit this too many times. Yeah. And I'm glad that we're coming back right away. If I were trying to draw connections between these and the board's current practice, or what the board's antidotes could be to current practice, I think there's a lot of, you know, you can make connections, I feel like, in lots of places. I don't know, now that I'm staring at the document, I'm going to try and find one as an example. Like progress is bigger and more quantity over quality. Like, so, you know, it's not the right thing to just offer all the spots to all the applications, you know, and even though we might say, oh, the budget, yay, but you end up with that all these cascading impacts of, you know, you haven't planned for it, overcrowding classrooms, unhappy teachers, like that's not.
Even more, it's like, take a single goal to focus on instead of seven, right? Like,
yeah.
Do a good job on one high priority thing instead of insisting that everything is being addressed all the time.
Right. Or even we had a discussion earlier tonight about traffic management in the mornings and afternoons. And it's like, well, it's either admin does it or it can't be, so, you know, like, or are there antidotes? Like, how do we expand the options and getting away from the either or and stuff like that?
That one always stands out to me. Because I think it's one I've had to work a lot on and continue to work a lot on, is like being able to see like a third, fourth, fifth way, and getting away from that like either or thinking. I feel like I've seen, not in this board, but just other kind of public discourse, I think gets to that a lot. And this is obviously different than a lot of like very public discourse, but especially in a space where, I mean, it kind of is overlapping with perfectionism too, right? Like in a space where you're doing work in public, like allowing there to be gray and allowing there like to be, not to always be answers, expecting, which one is that
connected to. There's another one that was connected to about, like, you know, expecting non-closure. You know, is all tied up in that, where I think it can feel like, especially as we have to do work in public, to feel the pressure for none of those things to be true. They have to be perfect and have to have black and white and right wrong answers. Is something that I think matters a lot in this space for us to model.
That doing the work in public, I think, also connects to the fear of open conflict, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That, like, the idea of not wanting to disagree on a record and be recorded disagreeing in the minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I keep thinking of it in the FAC of just like how to try to come up with ideas and how to build relationships with people. So it still feels like it's a lot of the same family. So and it's just, but I don't have an answer. It's a question that I keep having, how to do that. So it feels like we're not, I don't know about you guys, but it still feels like, I mean, and I know we're like, we're in person and it's not the pandemic, but it still does feel hard to socialize and gather. It's not the same as it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That piece just needs to start smaller. It's like we need to do it more small playing. Like an FAC parent or a room parent, like how are we encouraging families to actually invite each other out to chat? Because
it's true.
Like it works if your kids make friends, but you know.
I have not looked through Parent Square. My admin login. Do we have information on like how many class play dates are happening?
I'm not even necessarily talking about big. Yeah. Like, sure, you can do the big organized ones, but it's more meaningful when like one parent actually reaches out and be like, "Hey, my child keeps talking about your child. You guys can hang out." And like, how do we make that the inroad to then get people to other things?
Yeah.
Because it's like the expectation that we're going to put on an event and that everybody, like, people
One of the things that the room parents used to do was there was always a bonding coordinator who would, once a month would propose an event that people could go or not go, and it was effective.
I think that would actually be a great role, for a room parent to do. Yeah. And in this time where we've kind of pushed back on some of the things that used to happen that aren't really instructionally supported. Because it's hard to be instructionally supported in our context as a parent, but like we want to provide opportunity for connecting with other families and with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think those events could be good. I'd be curious if they still end up being kind of the same folks.
I'm sure they will.
It's kind of segregating.
Yeah.
Another thing is, have we ever done, so our last, when we went to DC, we were paired, we signed up as a family to pair with a new incoming family. And so we were like their buddy family. And we developed really great relationships that way. And I wonder, when we came here, I remember for a little while I was struggling. I mean, it ended up being on a, and she was awesome. She was our root parent. But at first, I didn't know any of the parents. I didn't know anything about the classroom. I didn't have any connection for a couple of weeks. And I was like, who do I talk to? There's another parent here. And then I got to the people meet and all the stuff. But it would have been nice at that time. And we did that in the summer, like a couple of weeks before school started. So we had a play date with that family before school started. Best friends, and then they asked me all the questions that they would have asked the teacher or asked admin, you know, that I helped them sort of integrate into the school.
Do you just to stick with that idea for a sec? Do you think that's something, would the FAC have the capacity to
pull it
off? Well, and I'm wondering, is it as simple as it's probably a Parent Square post that says, who's willing to be a buddy family? Just collect who's willing. And then as new families come in, you'll have the ability to message new families or email new families.
I think it's worth trying. I will say personally, any posts I've had recently to try and get people to step up to be the t-shirt lead. So I didn't spend an hour and a half wearing t-shirts today.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten and that's not anything glamorous or fun, but I have struggled to get responses for broad kind of square.
What if we're doing Yeah, like the text or the phone call, because I don't do them very much,
right?
And there's a reason why it's probably not that I need people to listen, but like because I don't do it very much, we could kind of thoughtfully add one here and there, like,
yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm 67 new kids already accepted,
right?
Right, and like that's
be nice to be able to start pairing them up.
Yeah. 50 families, that's like 50 families I can pair right now. We have their phone numbers, and I can send them, I can send these people an email being like, are you interested in being, we're going to partner you, we're going to give you their contact.
Are they,
if you reach out
real quick, are they invited to Saturday? You could.
I don't know. I have passed.
Okay. Sorry. Put a pin in that.
I think that me and Buffy email Thomas. He can
do okay.
That. Like, I probably will forget.
I think it's worth trying. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, I have the same thing. Like, Jasper joined in third grade, and the expectation was that everybody knew right work.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that point, third grade was the top year you could be accepted. So it was very much like everybody had been there forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it helps with retention, and I think it's an easier ask in some ways of families than like a more
connect with one other family. Because
it's just like you do it on your own time. If you're somebody who likes school, or I'm happy
yeah.
a new family, and it'd be cool. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, our FAC membership right now is like.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's as simple. As
a
school-wide ask, and it's if you're doing this, what you're saying is you'll be given a family to contact,
yeah,
and in there's no accountability. We're right. Just asking you to reach out, yeah, reach out, and you know, just be willing. Anything from being willing to offer and answer questions to setting up a play date, like you decide. But
would it be random? Like, how would we reach our families? Would it be random? Would it be thoughtful? Would it be?
I think ideally it's people whose kids will be in the same grade, but it doesn't, if it's, and then if, then the next cut would be kids in the same level, I would say level, but yeah, because you might not have classroom information, but you'll have level information. Level is public, classroom might be more. Yeah.
Need to include like these other, like, maybe it's like a different commitment statement. We have our land acknowledgement,
mm-hmm.
and we have our anti-fight, which is, you know, commitment. Mm-hmm. Like maybe there's like an FAC commitment for continual striving for more inclusion, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, sort of like.
Well, I think that's the, I mean, I think the build relationship thing is an interesting piece, and like, you know, in counter to, I mean, a lot of this, but definitely individualism, like, I think is a big one where, you know, we're seeing, you know, there's a historical group of folks who have been,
they don't
like, you know, centered in like a lot of what has happened at the adult level. And so how do we help? Or how do we help develop that sense of community that is like that? I think in a lot of ways, probably the pandemic had played a big part in like it's kind of siloing people. It's like I take my kid to school and then I take them home, and then it's like, you know, building those connections across small families, I think, is one that is on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like personally about the individualism one, because I don't want to carry a lot of stuff. Like I don't feel like it's something I choose to do, but it ends up being something I do because there mm-hmm. isn't that scaffolding for other people to do it, and I don't know how to like
mm-hmm.
hand that off without just dropping it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's really a great part of it too.
Well, that goes, and that sounds like it goes with fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is another.
Yeah.
A little bit different. Because, like, what you're ending up doing by yourself there is for
the community.
The community.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that's.
But not feeling like you can pass it off.
Right. Exactly.
Not feeling like you can pass it off because of it not getting done right. Or like
that is
that's a perfectionist one.
Yes.
But like I think the bigger like I think the underlying issue, we were having this conversation yesterday or the day before about the slightly different, more administrative things with like the just feeling that other people are in it for themselves and are in it for the community. And it's cultural. We were talking about it like societally, right? Is that like it's a, we're individualistic and that's a societal thing. And here in the States and less so in Japan. So that was where our conversation was like, yeah, whether it's obligatory to do things in support of your community and whether, you know, it's okay to walk and go care for yourself at the expense of others. Yeah, but it relates a lot to what you're saying, I think, in terms of like that feeling of like, well, nobody else, like, I'm asking for help,
right?
I'm asking for these things, but because it gets done, nobody else does it, maybe. But then when it doesn't get done, people don't really necessarily step up to do it. Also, it's like expected that someone else will do it. It's always expected that someone else will hold the work. It's a societal issue, though, I think, more than like but something to think about.
I'd like to offer, I think that there is potentially a world where, you know, as a board, we have our own agreement. And I think I'd love us to, one, be really in aligned with what the staff is doing and continue our own learning prior to that. And so I'm wondering if a practice that we could have as a board is to like continue to bring these up and maybe like, what I've done in previous spaces with these types of agreements is say, like, either at the beginning or at the end, say like every, or not everyone, or yeah, everyone sharing one way where this, if you're doing it at the end, like one of these did show up or didn't show up, or we could have leaned into it like more and it could have been helpful, or where we did and it really was, but some way to build in a ritual where we are like reflecting. And then I think maybe a little bit down the road then to be able to say like, well, we've never reflected on this one. Is this, you know, is this why? And just get curious with that, but as a way for us to continue to engage with the board in, I think, kind of a similar way that staff does in terms of bringing it up a lot.
And like, yeah, I like the idea of asking at the end. We haven't done that as much as at the beginning, be like, are any of these, like, if we feel like we want to make, put a focus on any of these, either personally or us collectively at the beginning of a meeting, sometimes people will be like, I need to focus on knowing that it's possible to do that. And it's more like an opportunity for somebody to like verbalize like where they're at and like what they're feeling like they need to lean into. But it's, be nice for us to do it reflectively as well.
Question. Is this more for board with each other, or is it like this space, like in this public meeting space? Like, is it an expectation of if public is here, these are our agreements, right? So that we're all gonna,
I think it's that, but that will require inviting public to engage with them and practice them and make mistakes with them and be called in around them.
Which I do think means we need to still start with them, especially if there are public care, but then I think having a reflective piece at the end. So one next step.
That's more of a board exercise than a public exercise.
But if the public has feedback for us, then again, because we will give them feedback too if they're not in alignment with these and stuff. They're feeling like we're out of line with that. Like, mistakes are for learning, right? So let's hear it. Cool.
Is that an, like, I'm going to probably in the next day or two make a draft agenda for April.
Yeah.
So you'll, do you want me to try and find a spot near the end?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I take a look at that thing, because if I don't frame it.
At the beginning, like review committee agreement, instead of putting it on the report, because we might want to
do
that appreciation.
Yeah.
Time for progress.
Yeah. It should look.
before
it should book it should you're saying there's a review beginning and there's also a reflection at the end.
It's just linked at the top, like, would anybody like us to review our community agreements?
Yeah.
Like, because we've now shown them publicly, but if we have public, we might just choose in those moments that, like, yes, let's open those and take a look at them, rather than saying that we have them but not looking them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a future moment when somebody decides to come to a meeting, let's commit to have somebody say, well, yes, let's review those actively, but at other times, we don't have them, we actively link them to all of them.
I'll take a stab at architecting that on the agenda, but I just want to flag, if I don't capture it the way you two are seeing it, please edit it and change it. I'll find it in ahead of school. Cool.
All right, great.
And there are no public comments on that item.
Other business.
I have some Oakland updates.
That was it.
Okay.
Sorry. I was like, I have a shout out and I can't remember what
for freedom.
And I was like, yes.
Go for it.
Yeah, no, well, I
put it on the agenda.
Okay, great. Well, it is on the agenda. No, it was just a shout out that I wanted to give for those. I'm sure most people saw the article that Krishna shared that was in on the FIA website, profile of Freedom Rain, and the work that Krishna and Daniel are doing on the teacher pipeline program. So
yeah, anyway, it was rad.
It was literally a moment. That's why I was sitting there. I was like, no.
It's rad. It's on the agenda. So cool. It's in the record. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shared it on the Facebook group.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I showed it on LinkedIn and a former woman who I used to work with was like, I have been teaching abroad for 7 years and I'm looking for opportunities in Oakland.
Send them the nimble say.
Exactly. She is a middle and high school teacher.
Oh, really?
So,
anyway.
So,
what's up out there?
So, there have been a lot. Lots going on, particularly in Oakland. I think most of my state stuff was the financial stuff I referenced at, but if you hadn't been following, which is totally reasonable, after it took a regular board meetings, special meeting, but Oakland Unified, passed policy that would adjust they're planning to downsize their budget going into next year. So it's not a mid-year adjustment. It's an adjustment for next year. I think it was approximately 150 FTE across all their schools. And a lot of those FTE So OUSD passed policy to shrink about 150, remove about 150 FTE. Going into next year, not immediately. Many of those positions are actually currently vacant, many of them. And that others would potentially end up getting funded with one-time funding for one more year. But it kind of helps. And it's
a range of positions.
It's a range of positions, but it included early literacy tutors, RJ coordinators, other paraprofessionals, and then the chief financial officer and a few, you know, I'm getting the title wrong, but so cuts all over, or adjustments is what they wanted them to be called. You gotta adjust. And then also included was that ultimately passed was a policy that says that for the 24-25 year, starting now through the end of next school year, they will have a school merger process where officially it was going to be 10, but they, in the final policy, they had an unnamed and unnumbered amount of schools. But I believe the spirit of it would be to run a process that would ideally identify and support co-located district run schools to like reamer. And usually, I think in a lot of those cases, they were traditionally one school that were split into two, and this would be a process of putting them back together. Yeah. And that those like newly emerged schools would then be the new school in the fall of 24. Yeah, for the 24-25 school year. So not this coming year, but the following year. So time to engage people and, you know, come up with a new name and all the stuff. So we'll see.
Is that the similar structure to the Sankofa Kaiser?
So it's a little different than Sankofa Kaiser in that Kaiser campus and Sankofa were not co-located.
Yeah.
It does have to
be a co-located.
I'm pretty sure the spirit of it, I don't know if the policy calls for it, but the spirit of the policy was definitely around co-located, currently co-located schools. But what staff actually end up proposing and work, I think they have wiggle room to propose other things. But I think the model would be more like a roots into CCPA, although that was more of a closure and an expansion. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the better model would be something like Alliance and Elmhurst becoming Elmhurst United. But this comes on the heels of the month or so prior, they had just voted to rescind school closures. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in the community experienced this as somewhat of a whiplash. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this. Wait, you just said we weren't closing schools. Now it sounds like we are. And the board had some serious polite but public disagreement about it, which I thought was very impressive. So that's not easy to do. And then they ultimately worked through a lot of stuff in public, and I'm sure some in their closed session, but I couldn't tell you. And they ultimately passed their policy unanimously. So we'll see. So it's just something to keep in mind. This is also on the heels of the policy that they passed that rescinded the school closures that they did in January. That same policy also called for the schools to be transformed. So this is like multiple different kind of school transformations, processy potentially going on. The other thing there's two more big things I wanted to mention. One is around, they're also now discussing that President Hutchinson was certified the winner of D4. So President Hutchinson is our elected D4 rep here in D4 for OUSD, president of the board. And the board is discussing, and last night they could not, so there's only six people on the board. And so there's a lot of votes that are like 3-3 right now. And so they did not decide whether they're going to be calling for a special election to fill President Hutchinson's prior D5 seat or appointing for nearly 2 years. Well, by the time someone got appointed, it'd be more like a year and a half. And Oakland side has covered a lot of that. So you can also catch that stuff there. And then the last thing is that they're in the midst of bargaining. And so the district, the teachers have been without a contract since October. All sides are hoping to settle it before the end of this school year. OUSD published an update from their side of things on their page. I'm sure the OEA has as well. I haven't had a moment to go look for it. So there's, I think OEA was calling for something like a 23% raise, and OUSD has come back with something more between, depending on who you are on the salary schedule, more like 8 to 11, but all these other benefits as well. Yeah.
Contract since October is like not very long.
The last contract they worked without a contract for multiple years.
It's
5 years. Yeah.
It's all imposed. It was state imposed. First it was district imposed. Then it was like state imposed. We had no time.
And then then what I just saw today when OUSD announced their update, they posted their draft school calendar for next year. And it is a wild departure from years past. So I'll share it out. I'll put in the minutes. I don't know if it's not approved, but there were some really exciting things on it. I mean, like I thought,
what can be so exciting?
Like
school calendar, I have to see these.
Okay, they're going from like 3 or 4 PD days. They're trying to have like 10 or 12 PD days, which is great. It took me 2 tries to count the days, because at first I was like, that's not enough school days, but they were totally right. I was totally wrong. Yeah, no, it's totally 180. It's all good. They're proposing starting, they normally start school on a Monday. They're proposing starting school on a Wednesday. So we would actually, if we kept things exactly the same, we wouldn't be starting a whole week after them, but just a few, like 3 days after them, 3 school days after them. But I think, you know, there's compelling, I think it's prompted. It feels like a calendar that's closer to something we might want to align to or align more on than we've had wanted to in years past, and for the benefits that come with aligning. But I think it's still, I'll find it in a sec. I found it through President Hutchinson's Facebook post. He reposted the labor office. You're looking for the labor office if you're on the OUSD website. Anyways, I think that our role was to share, just to find and share the information. I feel like the admin team will digest it and there are trade-offs there. I think it's going to prompt them to want to rethink it, like our calendar to some extent. They got to work with their people and the teachers. Like, what are the complications here with our summer plans and all that sort of stuff? And then they'll either bring us a new recommendation or they won't. So we'll see. But it was just not status quo. It was kind of just interesting. I think those are my Oakland updates. I'm sure there's more, but that's what I get. Okay. While you're looking at that, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item.
So exciting, Greg, but I knew this.
Minutes.
Yes. All right. Do we have a what is it called?
A motion.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes from the last board meeting?
Motion.
And we have a member of the public. Hi, Deb. Deb just joined. Hi, Deb. Deb, can you hear us? Okay. Hold on, Deb. I'm not hearing you. I want to make sure we can hear you. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I also have a bet with Joe after that last meeting. I like was talking to him about the winter break timeline. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's no way.
Deb, hi. Like, yeah. You can't hear. Oh. How about now? Can you hear?
I don't know. It's like,
can you see us?
It's
the same. Well, it's totally unexpected. Yeah, that's the extra holiday. Yeah.
Two feet. Yeah. This is. I totally
won. Yeah. I see, Greg. I will try. Don't wait for me. Okay, so just don't wait for me. Yeah, I'm the only one on Zoom. We're all in person. We see you. Hi. I just want to make sure you can hear us. Can you? Nothing yet? Still can't hear us?
Yes. No, this is what I was hoping for.
Yeah. And I'm back on January 2nd. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. All right.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
All right. All right. So that's good. Now we're all on record. We had a member of the public and we made sure everything was working before we move forward, which is what we're supposed to do. So we are, Deb, we're nearing the end of our agenda. We were on item 7B. We were making, Anne just made a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting. So.
Nice. Second.
Okay, great.
The motion.
So are there questions or public comments on the minutes?
There are none. Call the vote.
Well, you can.
Oh, yeah.
All
in favor?
There you go.
Aye. All opposed? None. It's approved.
Great.
All right. Questions or public comment about the general consent report? Motion to approve the general consent report? Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the general consent report? Aye.
Aye.
All approving.
Well, I got to get this Kara and Anne. Okay, thank you. Great.
Okay. Are there any items, new business items that we want to make sure are included in future meetings?
I think we've already captured this, but we talked about the modifications to the agenda for the future around the agreements, but even just that article or that topic, I feel like, I don't know, you decide. I would say you decide, but like every other meeting, every third meeting, you should just bring it back with maybe a different prompt.
Okay.
But this, we could revisit the same text, I feel like. Yeah. So.
Love it.
And then I was just going to say, Deb, we're about to go into closed session on public employee performance evaluation of the head of school.
Yep.
So if you have any public comments on that, that's your last official chance to make public comment. But also, if you just, you know, we can keep it a little flexible. If you have something you need to share with us tonight, because after we go into closed session, we're going to come back and then we announce, if we take any actions, we'll announce it and then we adjourn. So if you have anything else you want to share, we have time. If you'd like to just make a comment, we can just capture it. Or yeah, but it's nice to see you.
Thank you. No, I had intended to connect earlier and then didn't. Do you have a set time you're going to come back? If I have anything, should I go away and come back? Or
no, I would say if you have something, this would be your chance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't have anything. Thank you. So I.
Okay.
I'm just now catching up on all this stuff on the agenda. So
all
thank
good.
You, everyone.
What we'll do, what I can do, Deb, is I won't have the minutes drafted, but this is getting audio recorded, so I can also post the. It'll be under the documents. For the meeting, you'll see it. I'll try and post it later tonight. So at least if you want to like listen back, you're welcome to.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, everyone.
Keep coming. Come again. Come in person if you want.
Yeah, we're all here.
Not today. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right, then we're going into closed session. Thanks. Bye. Bye, Deb. And I'm going to pause the recording. Oh, what time is it?
It is 7:03.
7:03. Okay, here we go.
All right, we are returning from closed session at 7:33 and no actions or votes were taken. We are done.
Good night, everybody.
Night.